In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
One of the axioms of the spiritual life in Christ, going way, way back, and of course present in the Gospels really, and in all the fathers of the church, is remembrance of death. Now, this is not particularly a topic that we like to dwell on, and it's not something really that has to be done so in a morbid fashion, but it is something that's very, very important to all of us. As the fathers say, echoing the Gospels, remember thy end, O man, and you shall never sin again. And even our own St. James talks about how our lives are but a vapor. They're just here quickly, and then they're gone. Now, in our contemporary society especially, we seem to place so much emphasis on denying anything that would remind us of our own mortality. If we're sick, we go to the doctor. If we're losing money, we go to a financial advisor. On and on and on. Anything to remind us that we are somehow going to be here forever. But it's simply not the case. And it's pointed out, I think, in a very blatant and very strong fashion in today's gospel. Because we hear of a rich man. And we hear of the rich man, we don't know, you know, there's nothing that says that this guy got his wealth in an ill-gotten way or something like that. He may have even been praying when he got all of his wealth. He may have, you know, done all the things in life that you think you're supposed to do. We're not told any of these things. What we are told is that his wealth, his riches, so overtook him that he was unable to see anything beyond it. He has lots of goods, many, many goods, so much so that his barns are overflowing. And so he's thinking, I'm going to have to rip these barns down, because I'm going to have to put up new ones because I've got so much good stuff now that I just don't have room for any of it. Wow, what a problem. And so he does this. He puts these barns up. He puts all of his stuff in there, even though he could have taken the surplus and given it to the poor or done any number of things with this extra money and wealth that he had, but he doesn't. And so, what does the Lord say? He says, you fool, you absolute fool. This very night, your soul is required of you. What are you going to do then? And that's why we need to be thinking of our own end. Again, not in a morbid way, because it doesn't have to be a morbid topic. It's just a topic of realism that adds perspective and meaning to all of our lives. For this man, he didn't think about God at all. He thought he was going to be around forever. I've got my barns full now. Take my ease. Eat, drink, be merry. What's the problem? But yet, that was to be cut off. And then what was he left with? Absolutely nothing, because he wasn't going to be able to take any of it with him. Now, the same thing happens with us. We really are that rich man, every one of us. Everybody here has got something valuable to them, and everyone seeks to protect whatever that is. We seek to guard it. We plan ahead. We don't want anything to happen to the wealth that we've accumulated. We don't want anything to happen to our businesses or all the work that we've put in all our lives in order to get to where we are, because after all, that is the American dream, isn't it? That is what we all strive for, to gain a certain amount of financial security, to be able to live our lives in relative ease and comfort. Because who chooses otherwise? Who chooses a life of degradation or despondency or utter poverty or something like that? Many of the saints did, but most of us don't. No, we follow the dictates of the culture that we're in. And we think that if we do these things, then all will be well in the end. But the point is, this man never thought of God during this process. And once he had achieved all of this, he never thanked God for any of it. Nothing at all. It was as if it was all his own doing and nobody else and nothing else, and especially God, was going to have any part of any of this. And yet, that day came for him, and it came very suddenly. We've recently had a wonderful lady who has departed this life in our own midst, and it happened, again, very suddenly. Everyone saw Donna. Everyone thought Donna looked great. And then all of a sudden, she finds out that she has this terrible disease with just a few weeks to live. And fortunately for Donna, she was ready. She was absolutely ready. There was no problem with the barns that she had put up for her things because she had long emptied them and given them to someone else. She had long despised the things of the world in terms of what we all seek after. She knew that the day would come, and though it came unexpectedly, she was ready. There was no problem there. Her soul was required of her, but she was all too willing at that point to give it up. I know all of you remember when she was here the last time, just 1 week before she reposed, and people were going up to her and in tears and just feeling so terrible. And she was hugging them back and saying, "It'll be okay. It's all right. It's going to be okay." That is what a Christian does. That is where a Christian puts his or her wealth, in God and not in the things of the world. And that's why remembrance of our end is just critical for all of us, because we have to know that one day that's coming. And for some of us, it's coming quicker than others. We don't know. God has not told us these things. He did tell some of the saints when their end would come. But for the most part, he doesn't. And we don't know. We just don't know when that's going to be. But the question is, will we be ready when it happens? Because at that point, when that day comes, and if you're given any time at all to think about it, I guarantee you, you're not going to be thinking about the things that you have accomplished in this life. You're not going to be thinking about your wealth. You're not going to be thinking about your possessions or anything like that. No, when all is laid bare, when all the barnacles that so encrust our spiritual souls are ripped apart and taken off of us, we're only going to think of God. And are we ready to meet Him? Are we prepared? That's what this gospel is telling us in a very, very strong manner. And we have to take all of that into consideration. Because if we do, life actually becomes more meaningful. It actually becomes more enjoyable. It actually becomes something that is worth living, because we're not pursuing things that simply fall away, that are going to be left behind, or that don't mean anything in the long run, because they don't. It's so astonishing sometimes when you go to the graves of famous people. You know, people that during your lifetime you wouldn't have been able to get near. Okay, nowhere near. But yet you go to these places sometimes and you stand there before them and you see their names on their tombs and you know who they were, and you know the accolades they may have received, and how they kept themselves away from the public, and how they were so in demand, all sorts of different figures. But you see the names on those graves, and you just stand there and say, "Well, I'm near you now, and what do you have left? Where are the accolades? Where is all the praise of the world? Where are all of these things?" They're gone. They're not there anymore. They've absolutely disappeared. And so if we remember all of this, if we remember our mortality, the fact that we are here but for a short span, every moment of our life then becomes more important. It's so important for us to inculcate the rhythm of the church year into all of our lives. The fasts and the feasts and the things that are coming up and the things that have just gone by in the after feast, and to identify with these things and to unite ourselves to Christ through these things that He gives us in the church, because that's the surefire way of knowing that you're going to remain with Him the rest of your life, and when that day comes, that you will be prepared because you have spent it learning and praying and studying and knowing the things of God. And there won't be any question of anything having to do with accumulation of wealth, desire, any of this, because God will be with you. He will be in you, and you will be in Him. And so every one of us will be ready for that day. And actually, as St. Paul says, looking forward to it, because St. Paul did look forward to it. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. Actually, just as a point of order here, that's not what the Scriptures actually say. Although it's in your bulletin, it's what we heard in the Gospel today. But as all English translations of the Gospels seem to lose something at some point because the translators come upon words that don't fit or that they don't think they understand, and so in many cases they just leave the words out. And in the Scriptures today, we have a good example of that. Because the Gospel doesn't actually say, tonight your soul will be required of thee. It says, tonight they will require thy soul of thee. What does this they mean? Well, we have several different contrasting interpretations. St. Basil the Great says that the they actually refers to all the poor people that were around this rich man, and that the fact that this man was going to die, that those people required his soul of them. St. Theophylact says something a little bit different. He believes that the they, in turn, refers to the particular judgment, the partial judgment of our souls at the time of death. They mean the angels that come for us at that time. They will require thy soul of thee. It may not be something that stands out as a real make it or break it in the interpretation of this passage, but when I come upon these things, I like to point them out, because in the Gospel so often we do have examples where the mistranslation is just completely egregious. It's just completely ridiculous. Because they don't understand, meaning the translators, they don't understand the particular judgment or the fathers of the church and their interpretations, so they just drop these words out and give us a meaning that is entirely different. Because the they is something that is very important, because it is referring to someone else. It's not actually the Lord who says that I require thy soul of thee. He doesn't say that at all. He says, no, tonight they shall require thy soul of thee. Meaning that that man's time had come to an end, and that it was time for him to give an accounting to God. Let this be something that we all take to heart, because one day we will all have to give an accounting. Every one of us, no matter how much we deny it, no matter how much we put it out of our minds, no matter how much we don't like to think about it, no matter how much we just put it in the back of our heads because it's such a fearsome thing that it bothers us to think about it. Don't let it bother you. Bring it to the front. Know that that accounting will have to be done by each and every one of us. There's no getting around it. But if we start preparing now, if we start living our lives as genuine Christians now, then when that day comes, the accounting will be something easy to do, a smooth transition into the heavenly realms, something so that the Lord can say to all of us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou now into the joy of thy Lord. Amen.